Okay, hello there, and welcome to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We are going to pick up where we left off yesterday, and if you're wondering where that is, it's the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12. And we're looking at this healing of the man at the pool who lie there for 38 years as an invalid. And Jesus healed this man, and the man got up and carried his mat, and there were three application points that we talked about in the simple sentence that Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And so I encourage you to look at go ahead and listen to our last message that we preached yesterday. In that, we talk a lot about what this man did and how it pertains to our lives as far as being healed and getting rid of the things that would or might draw us back. You can listen to that message in two different ways. You can go to our website at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, and word.com. There we have all of our archived messages in the media tab. They're free of charge for download or listening to. Or you can come by the Wash and Word, that is mine and my wife Vicky's hand car washing business. We're located in Churchill on Highway 11, the Powell Shopping Center. And there we play this and all of this week's messages on FM 107.1. And they transmit about 150 feet from the building. And you can pull into the parking lot, turn on 107.1 FM, and there you can hear this and other messages that we did this week. They play on a loop all day long while we're open. And it's a good place to go while you're eating your pals. You know, you could just sit in the parking lot and tune in to 107.1 and just maybe God has something that he wants to tell you through one sentence of a message. All right, so let's get back to our verse-by-verse teaching. And the Pharisees had come up to the man because he was healed on the Sabbath. And we talked about in our last teaching that Jesus did this on purpose because he's planting a seed that will eventually grow to a full-grown cross that he would be nailed upon. And these Pharisees, rather than rejoicing with the man that he got healed, are trying to figure out why he's carrying his mat on a Sabbath, which was illegal. And the man replied in verse 11, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And I submitted to you at the end of the last message that it is always better to obey the man who has healed you than to obey those who are coming against you. And so in verse 12, the Pharisees continue. They said, so they asked him, well, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Now we're going to stop right there because there's an interesting application point I want to look at. But before we get to that application point, I found it interesting that Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. You see, I talked about it yesterday's message a little bit that, you know, everything Jesus did was designed to pave the way to the cross. He was going to go to that cross, and his entire mission for being here was to set it up that his life would end nailed on that cross for your sin and for mine. And he planted a seed here with the healing on the Sabbath, and then he slipped away because it could have escalated right then and there. If you remember what I said in the last message, it was actually the healing of a crippled man's hand in the book of Matthew that led to his crucifixion. So this idea of him slipping away was to show that he was on a divine timeline. But in looking at what this man replied, he had said to him, he had no idea who it was that healed him. And the application to what we've read so far is simply this. There is a time to be carried, a time to be led by the hand, and a time to walk upright alone. And this really signifies what this walk, this Christian walk, is supposed to be. There is a time to be carried, there is a time to be led by the hand, and there is a time to walk upright alone. You know, whenever I train somebody at a job, I learned a long time ago that the proper way to train somebody to do something, whatever it is you're training them to do, is to first let them watch while you do the task. And then you are to let them do the task while you are helping them do it. And then they are to be let to do the task on their own. And this is not an order of spiritual growth in terms of chronology, because I know some saved, born-again believers, 20 years have been saved, and they find themselves at times so broken that they need to be carried. You know, just because we've walked with the Lord a long time doesn't mean that we need to be carried sometimes. Sometimes our lives get so damaged. So many bad things happen, or something major happens, and we find ourselves weak in the knees or even prostrate on the floor, and we find ourselves completely demolished. And that moment is a time to be carried. You know, Jesus, thankfully, he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. So if there are moments like that in your life, you can rest assured that he will come and carry you. And then there'll be a time where he begins to just lead you by the hand, where you start walking again back up on your feet. And then there'll be a time where he sends you off on your own to go and minister to others. But you see, our loving Father does what every loving father does to a child learning to ride a bike on their own for the first time. First, he holds you up, and then he runs right beside you, or he's directly behind you, waiting to catch you. You know, you ever teach your kid how to ride a bike? You know, first you're holding on, and then you're letting go, but you're right there to hold on again, and then eventually you're backing off quite a bit. And you know, it's about becoming independent, not independent in your own strength, independent enough to multiply. And what I mean by that is, you know, God is raising up us Christians to be disciple makers. And in order to do that, we have to be able to carry our own load, so to speak. And a lot of times that simply means giving it over to Christ and leaving it there. You know, I believe that God is raising up an army right now in this society, in this world, an army of true believers who adhere to the strict adherence of every word and every letter of every verse in the Bible. This is one of the reasons why I feel so called by God to teach verse by verse. I believe it's the most effective way to train and raise up the body of Christ to be prepared for whatever may come in their life personally, or whatever's coming down the pike here in the United States. Friends, if you think we are above persecution, or we are above Christianity becoming outlawed, we are not. And God is raising up believers right now who are going to be calling out the false teachers, those who are pastoring mega churches. Not that all mega churches are bad, but a lot of them are formed and continue to grow because the messages are being tainted. They're being watered down to the point where any major crisis is going to send those congregants into a spiral that they may never come out of. Right now, God is raising up an army of true believers who are not only going to stand up for truth, but are going to call out those who are leading people astray. The spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well in the body of Christ today. The devil has no problem roaming up and down the aisles of the churches today. And we need to stand firm and stand fast in the truth of God's word and back down from nobody. Like this man, he didn't back down just because the Pharisaical leaders had come up to him and demanded an answer. He simply said, "I'm obeying the one who has called me." And you got to think, this man, he ran the entire gamut in like an hour. Metaphorically speaking, Jesus carried him to the water. Metaphorically speaking, he led him by the hand to the healing. And now he has left him to walk alone. And so this man rides his newfound bike, so to speak, shakily down the road, and when the bumps of the of imminent disaster, in this case known as the Pharisees, begin to befall him, Jesus, like a good dad, catches the falling man before he crashes. I mean, what a great picture of our Heavenly Father. This man was guilty of a crime punishable by death, literally, for carrying his mat on a Sabbath. He could have been punished to death. And so Jesus allows us to walk alone upright at times, but remember, he's right there. He is our great rescuer, always right there. So he lets us walk alone. He lets us walk on our own, but he will never leave us all alone. And with all the latest worldly events, we need to know today that our Savior is right there. Always was, always will be. There's a time to be carried. There's a time to be led by the hand. And there's a time to walk upright alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you probably know this. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And that chapter goes on to talk about a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, and et cetera, et cetera. You know that scripture. But it's just to show that there's a time sometimes to be led by the hand and sometimes to walk alone. Jesus is always there, and I promise you, he will always show up just in time, as always. Look at verse 14. Later, Jesus found the man at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So Jesus didn't leave this man completely alone. He went back and talked to him. He introduced himself to him and let him know who he was. And I hate to end on a note that requires so much attention, but I'm going to sum up those last two verses, and we'll close with that, because you can take this with you and kind of meditate on it a little bit. And there's a really strong teaching permeates the church today about sickness and about healing in Jesus' name. And I think one of the things, without getting too in depth into it, not that I'm afraid to, anyone who listens to me long enough is going to know I'm not afraid of the tough issues. It's just I'm also not prone to argue the disputable ones. I think it's a waste of time. And but I would say this, not all sickness is a direct result of sin, which incidentally they believed back then, and so many do today. Not all sickness is the direct result of sin, but all sin directly results in sickness. Did you catch that? Well, I'll say it again. Not all sickness is the direct result of sin, but all sin directly results in sickness. And the greatest sickness of all is a dead soul. A soul that is sick with the sin of self. And we walk around. There are people out there who are walking around dead. Spiritually speaking, the sin of unbelief, of denying of the Holy Spirit, they're dead. The Bible says they are dead inside. They are spiritually dead. And that is what born again means, that we need to be born again in our spirit. And you could walk around for a long time with a dead soul, and no one's going to really find out about it. But I guarantee you, one day at judgment, you will stand before the Lord, and he will ask you that ever important question, who did you say I was? You know, if you had a cat that died, and it was newly dead, and you had it in your house, and people came over, and you had it hidden behind the couch, no one would know you had a newly dead cat. But wait a week, invite those same people over, and they'll know it was there. Sin stinks. Sorry for that analogy. I'm a cat lover, so. All right, we're just about out of time. So, great. You'll have dead cat in your memory as you close this message. Jesus loves you. There, take that one with you instead. Okay, join me tomorrow right back here at 8:30 on this radio station, or come by the Wash and Word, tune to 107.1 FM to hear this and other messages. Have a blessed day.